Alright guys, we're going to get started tonight. A lot of you guys were here last time, with the exception of just a few. So, yeah, Becky, Scott, obviously. Alright, so, the really open-ended question I want to begin with tonight is, what is our mission? We talked about this a little bit last week. What is our mission as Christians? What is our purpose?
To deliver people to Christ.
Okay. To deliver people to Christ, or maybe the reverse, deliver Christ to people.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's right. What else? What are the thoughts? Yeah.
To heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, that's part of the mission.
Yeah, actually, I'm laughing because that's exactly from my scripture tonight. So that's good, yes. God gave us a commission. What's that?
Matthew 28.
It's actually... Last week we talked about the end of the Gospels. That's the great Matthew 28 is the Great Commission.
Okay.
There is other places where there's other scriptures as well, which we talked about last. Each of the Gospels, there's some point where Jesus is giving them as he's leaving. He's like, "Here, go do this," and that's what we went over last time. This is actually tonight is sort of the midway between Jesus' ministry. Halfway through, he sends out his disciples, and that's what we're talking about. So our mission is to heal the sick, raise the dead. Do amazing things in the name of Christ. What else?
To glorify our Creator.
Right. Good. Westminster Catechism says, "What is the chief end of man?" And as a question, and the rest of it is to. Okay. I said, go ahead.
To love God and enjoy Him.
Right. to glorify God and to enjoy Him. That's the chief end of man. To love Him, to know Him, to serve Him. So that would also be part of our mission. Is that what you just said?
What?
David. Yeah, what did you just say?
To glorify
God. Sorry, I was like squirrel for a second. Okay, so this kind of, we kind of know as Christians that there's this culture within Christianity where we know what we're supposed to be doing. What are we worried about why are we worried, rather? About what we will say to others to tell them about Jesus. Why do we worry so much about that? Something that Bianca brought up last week, just her concern, and I think a lot of other people felt the same way, of not really being able to say the right things. Why is it that we're worried about that?
I think, personally for me, when I get concerned about that stuff is this the one shot that this person will have in hearing about Jesus? And if I know it's not my job, but if it doesn't go well, if I don't say the things that I need to say or do the things that I need to do, will that person miss it?
Right. Adam said something that I kind of want to hover around tonight, kind of just camp out and talk about and just kind of ruminate about. And it's this tension between our mission, which we just talked about, going out and doing things for God, but then he just said, it's not our job. So, like, how is it not our job? But at the same time, it's something we're supposed to be doing. How do we wrap our brain around the fact that God is like working through us, but then we somehow have to do something and find that balance between us feeling that responsibility, like it's all up to us, versus it's all up to God and we're not going to do anything? Anthony?
I have to say, Sean, I was a little goofy the last couple of weeks. And while I was a little goofy, I feel like I caught some people's attention.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like they're watching me in the sense that they know that I'm a believer in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that they see, I feel like God kind of used me in a way. I know it wasn't right,
mm-hmm.
but I got their attention. And
right.
Now I feel like I kind of hooked them.
Okay. So you're saying that we're concerned about what people, what we say, because it affects people's perception of us, and it affects our ability to share the gospel one way or the other?
Yeah.
Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes when we make mistakes, it's also being concerned like that we would make a mistake in what we say, but also sometimes when we make mistakes when we're projecting something that most people know isn't Christ-like, there's that concern. I want to talk more about that tonight, too, just that, like, what is our role in this? Like, we don't save people. But our lives, we're supposed to let our light shine so that people will see our good works and glorify our God in heaven. That's what the Bible says. So there's something about us living our lives in front of people that really matters. God says that. And so it's important, whether we're making mistakes or trying to live right, that we be mindful of that. So that concern, I think, is appropriate to a certain degree. And then getting to the point where we are so seized up by it that we don't speak up at all, that's a problem. What role does following Jesus have in enabling us or helping us to fulfill the mission we've been given? In other words, that specific concept of following. Why is following so important to doing what God has called us to do?
Can't leave people
to fix them. Yeah, that's true. I think I've heard someone say that before.
Okay, what's happening?
I said you can't lead people to a place you've never been yourself, which is what he says all the time.
I like that.
Yeah, you can't take someone somewhere.
I think it comes into for sheer fact that if you're not dwelling on an ongoing basis in Christ, so whether it be your prayer life, you're reading the Bible, whatever it is, and then you get the opportunity to do that,
right,
you're not going to be as fresh to come out and say that. I mean, I run into that problem all the time at work for the amount of hours at work. You'll get that opportunity. It's just like, oh, man, it's there, but it's not quick to come out. And sometimes it might only be a minute or two you have this year, and that'll kind of catch up. So if you're not in that constant relationship with Christ or, fall comes, it could throw you a loop.
Yeah. What came to my mind when you were saying that was when Jesus talked about abiding in the vine. That no one can bear fruit apart from being in the vine, and that being mindful of that. So following Jesus, abiding with him. Becky?
I think the more we're filled and the more we receive, the more we can pour out.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really, fulfill the mission
mm-hmm.
if you're not following Jesus. Receiving from Jesus,
right,
and you're not being filled to pour out. And it's kind of like what I was talking about the other night with the parable of the talents. Like, the ones who had more got more. They got more for their talents.
Right.
So the more that they received, the more they were able to gather. I just think that we have to be filled, and we can't be filled if we're not following Jesus.
I'll continue to say, Anthony. When we learned about following Jesus, Jesus came to men that really had no concept. They weren't learned men. He didn't go to the synagogue and find the ones that were there studying the scriptures. He went to the fishermen. He went to the people that were just chilling out, and he called them to follow. He said, come and see. Follow after me. We talked about that at retreat a little bit. But the concept of just that in the following, Jesus revealed the kingdom of God. He taught about the kingdom of God everywhere he went. He understood what God was all about, and he used parables to help explain things that were hidden from people's understanding because of the hardness that was in their heart. And so the disciples were right there, right front row seat to these parables, and when they themselves were hard-hearted and couldn't understand, they took time to seek after Jesus afterward and say, hey, explain this to us. We don't understand what you're talking about here. And that, I think, also kind of falls into that, is that they received more because they were there, and they got more. And I think that for us, following is our ability to give more really is completely tied to how much we receive. So, Anthony?
I noticed, like, Becky puts on up with Gage. I feel like when you said with that little message, I feel like God just flowed that out of you. And I feel like when we get something in our heart, I feel like we shouldn't hold back. We should just let it flow out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And just let the Spirit do the work and let it flow out, the love of Jesus.
Yeah, I think that sometimes we can kink it up. Like, we don't allow God to flow through us. Sometimes we let our flesh kind of flow through us a little bit faster than our spirit man. But I think that is all part of the process, is that as we follow Jesus, our spirit man strengthened. And our flesh, is kind of beat down. And that's actually part of the scripture that we're going to read tonight. We have a really packed full chapter tonight to read from Matthew. David.
If Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way,
mm-hmm.
then we don't have a way, we don't know truth, and we don't have life
mm-hmm.
if we don't follow him.
Right. Cool.
Hey, well, was it?
Yeah. Dave was saying that Jesus told everyone that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And if we don't have Jesus, then we don't have the way, we don't have the truth, and we don't have the life. It was good.
That was
it's a very now. This is kind of kind of honing in on my main idea tonight as it comes to us fulfilling our mission in God. So it's sort of a loaded question because I have an answer, but we're going to go to the scripture and come back to it. What should be our motivation in fulfilling our mission? In other words, what is it that should drive us, that should compel us, that should get us to out there to do what we're supposed to be doing?
Me?
Yes.
We have to pray for God's boldness to motivate us.
Uh-huh.
We have to pray for God's wisdom to motivate us. We have to pray for God's passion to motivate us.
Uh-huh.
Because without it, we cannot do it. Mm-hmm. You know? Without it, we're just going to be like a waste of time.
How do we get the passion? How do we get the boldness? How do we get the wisdom?
By reading the Word of God. And by going out and understanding the full significance of how important it is to evangelize, how important it is to pray for the sick and for them to be healed and saved and delivered. And that's how it motivates us, especially me, because I have been there. So I have been in two places. I'm just going to give you my personal experience. I have been in two places where people were so sick, even demonized, that me and my friends prayed, actually, and they got healed and delivered. Mm. So that gives me the boldness, that gives me the importance, the significance, you know, that we should continue doing this, you know. That's how we get this passion.
So stepping out in faith and actually doing it,
yes, yes,
can help bring about a greater,
yes,
degree of
boldness. And we have to pray for God's boldness for the continuation,
right,
of what we're going to do. Because we're going to do it in the future too. We're not going to do it just today. We're going to do it tomorrow, you know, whenever God sends us.
Okay, good. Brandon.
Go back a little further for me personally. What motivates me to push on and get closer to God is to see where I was. I think motivation for most of us is knowing how we were before, is because, like, when we truly seek God and when we truly trust God for the first time is when we feel like we're lost and we have nothing left to fall on. And it's usually in that moment that we realize, hey, this God is real, this God is moving, this God is loves me. And when you press on and continue on, like now, my motivation isn't just completely understanding and knowing what Jesus did for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started believing, everybody's telling me, oh, Jesus died for me, this and that, like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And now, when I find myself, when I read or hear about Jesus dying for me, it's like it gets more and more emotional for me,
mm-hmm,
because I'm truly understanding the purpose of that sacrifice, and that's like, I don't want to fail him, even though we do,
mm-hmm,
that's a motivation that, like, he did this for me, he did this for all of us,
yeah,
and there's people out there that don't understand that,
mm-hmm,
they're just going on living their life, and they're not understanding the perfect sacrifice that,
right,
that he made for them.
Okay, good. Anthony?
Well, can you repeat the question?
I'm just asking, what should be the thing that motivates us to fulfill?
I feel like in my heart, what God has put my heart to say is the Holy Spirit. It rose Jesus from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that same power in us.
Right.
And I believe truthfully that that's what could take us to higher levels. But we need to pray and just pray and say, God, show me with the Holy Spirit what you need me to do. Because that's like our GPS. And that's the bottom line.
Okay. I think that the three of you guys together kind of hit on what I'm going to kind of bring us back to. But tonight, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 10. It's when Jesus called his disciples together and actually sent them out into the world to do some of the things that he had already done. Meaning Jesus, had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now this is significant because in Matthew 28, the commission wasn't just to go to the house of Israel. But he's saying, right now, go to Israel first. Go to those that are lost within Israel. The Samaritans, as we know, were half-breeds, and he himself witnessed, he spoke to a woman who was of Samaria, the Jews and Samaritans. So basically he's saying, go to those that are closest to you, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is, John, this is what you're saying. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This seems like a huge responsibility. Amen. Go out and do something that you can't really do on your own, but you've received this from the Lord. He empowered them, and now give it. Heal people, deliver them, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bags for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If you guys recall, Doug Black came and ministered one time, and he talked about this idea, this man of peace, this man going into an area, finding someone who was open to the gospel, and staying with that person, and preaching to them, and growing them. You shaking your head, Chris? You don't know,
no,
he was a guy who came and visited. A lot of us follow him on Facebook. He's actually someone I went to college with. He came to one of our early Engage meetings. So he's just right now he's working in Philadelphia, and his ministry is really to do what is described here, where he's looking for people of peace, where he basically raises up people that don't know the Lord to know the Lord, and then kind of empowers them to go and then lead other people to the Lord. So he's kind of an evangelistic ministry, just kind of taking the Bible literally, trying to, he's actually a bivocational minister. So does that answer your question? So if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father, of your Father, who speaks in you.
Amen.
Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which they did to Jesus, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Let's pray. Lord, your word is powerful. Your word is able to divide even soul and spirit, bone and marrow, be able to take things that are so closely connected, so interwoven, and be able to cut between them and show the difference and the divide. Father, I pray that in our lives you would open our understanding to where our flesh and our spirit, Lord, our soul, that you've made new in you, how it wars against each other and how you are making us new, that we are called to become sons and daughters of yours that will testify to your love and testify to who you are in this lost and broken world. Lord, we thank you for this time together that we can consider your word. I pray that we would be strengthened by it, we would be instructed by it, and that it would perform a work in our lives, that we would be able to allow you to have your way with us, and that it would bear fruit in season. Speak to us now, Lord, as we consider your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the word of God is powerful. I chose that specifically for a couple of the passages, but there's a lot that's there. And I think one of the things that I want to open this up to discussion about what stuck out as you to you guys. But I'm going to give one main thought before anything else. And that is, what's amazing to me is that Jesus, at the beginning of the chapter, basically says, go out and do the impossible. And then he says, but take comfort. This is what you can expect, and don't be afraid, because this is what happens when you go and do these kinds of things. And I think it's interesting that Jesus, over and over again, does that sort of thing, where he basically is calling us to do things that are way beyond what we can do in our own self, but then tells us, but don't worry, you know, this is what's going to happen, but this is what's going to happen too. And he gives us a lot of great comfort. So, does anybody have any reflections before I kind of bring all this in for a landing? Anthony.
You caught my attention when you said cast out demons.
Uh-huh.
I feel like a way, like we can't literally cast them out and say you're healed. But I feel like a way where we can cast out demons is music.
The Bible does say that that music is a powerful, effective thing. But the Bible also says that we are able to cast out demons because we're not doing it in our own authority, but in the authority of Jesus. So you're right. Music does influence spiritual things, and it can actually bring in and usher in some of the demonic. Also, the flip side, though, it's part of why we worship together, is that it also can usher in the Spirit of God.
Oh, yeah.
And so
music
is powerful.
I mean only Christian music, not anything bad.
Right. Well, the music by itself could probably prepare a person's heart for it. Not that I want to go off on this tangent tonight, but the spiritual warfare and that kind of thing is John actually brought a teaching to me that I thought was interesting. I haven't actually had a chance to listen to it, but I know Derek Prince has spent a lot of time teaching on this kind of subject. And so if it's something interesting to you, I can point you towards some resources. But basically, Jesus went and he himself was casting out demons. And he basically said, go out and do the same thing, but not in your own strength, in my strength. And
yeah,
of course,
but when I tried to do that, I got 302'd though.
Well, I understand what you're saying. We can talk more about that later on, okay? Because it's possible, we'll talk about that later on, okay? Because that's a good topic to discuss, but maybe it wouldn't be something that's good for everybody to kind of be in on, okay?
I got to be real.
I appreciate that. That's if people weren't, yeah, and I don't want to go into this and make it all about you, because that's...
I just wanted to say that because it's a true story. Yeah.
Music definitely ministers. Either it ministers for the devil or ministers for God.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah.
Something else that jumped out at you guys from the scripture. Not so much from what I said.
There was a lot.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Sorry.
That's right.
No, go ahead.
No, 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 no. You're good.
Oh, well, something that jumped out at me was, I when he talks about everything you just said, like, you do the impossible.
Right.
Find it, like, casting out demons.
Uh-huh. Healing
the
sick.
Right.
Yeah.
But then he says, freely you have received.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I hear that, I'm thinking, like, if I'm putting myself in a disciple's position, they're probably like, well, when did you cast the demon out of me? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember receiving that.
Yeah.
But I think, so that's something that really struck me, is that just being in the presence of God and seeing his miracles working and seeing his power is something you perceive.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to go free to give that.
I think that's actually a really profound truth, because what I feel is that when we receive Christ, we receive all that he is. And so our perspectives change. We love the unlovely. We heal those that are broken. We have compassion. We have mercy. We are ministers of the gospel. This isn't something that just professional people minister. We are all a royal priesthood. We're all called to minister. And, you know, healing somebody isn't just about physical healing. Obviously, God is the only one who can do it, but we need to pray. Pray that God would do it. But also, there's a healing that comes. It's a spiritual brokenness that our love, our hands can help bring about that. When we gather here together as a group, accepting people that are different from us and trying to show the love even when people that are unlovely or difficult, you know, in the church, we are trying to break down those walls of division and say, hey, in Christ you're welcome, and you're part of it, the family, and you have a place here, and we want you to experience all that God has for you, and we stop standing in the way of God moving. And so, because we have received, and we need to freely give that out. It's good. Did you remember your...
Yeah. It was a lot, but I know the part that kind of stuck out to me was the section, and I don't want to try to repeat it because I don't think I'll do a very good job, but where you talked about bringing a sword, and how, you know, when Pastor and Ruth were here, we were talking about kind of the line of relevance.
Mm-hmm.
In a time where it seems like a lot of evangelists or churches are trying to fit in more than it is stand out. And just interesting, even at that time, you know, the word that he brought was that I'm bringing unrest,
mm-hmm.
like that it's not just going to be comfortable as you follow in the discipleship that of being a follower of Christ, and how now more than ever, I know for me, it can be super uncomfortable to be a Christian when you've got 7 people around you at your job talking about things that you're like, but it's, I don't know, and I'm sure people have done this throughout history, but it's just interesting how it's almost like foreshadowing, but it really was always going to be like that. It was even like that back then.
Yeah.
And how it's, you know, I think sometimes we feel like, oh, it's so much like that now, but none of us are being crucified upside down, so it's, you know, it's...
Right.
It's just interesting about how that maintains until today.
Mm-hmm.
Christ came to bring a sword for a good reason. He came to divide us children from the ungodly for a good reason, because fellowship with the darkness is, you know, against God's morals. You know, now you will say Jesus hung out with sinners. Yes, he did, but he didn't hang out with mockers. He didn't surround himself with the assembly of mockers. There is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What is
it? It's a difference. It's like,
yeah, but you,
for example, he didn't participate on somebody's sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's participating on somebody's sins, meaning you are surrounded by the assembly of mockers. It's not just, you know, I'm gonna hang out with you and I'm just gonna work out. Yeah, you can work out. But considering, like, you know, going to the party, now the Lord had my personal experience, and I disobeyed God. I hung out with people that you know played you know so much video games. There's witchcraft over there, you know, there's a lot of anger, a lot of violence, a lot of cursings, which God warned me. He said, do not go, or else I will discipline you. I disobeyed. this is the ungodly soul tie that I want to tell you. The ungodly soul tie, it's something that, I'm sorry, Pastor Martin, I'll take this so much time. The ungodly soul tie, it's from you separating yourself with the ungodly, with somebody who is extremely ungodly inside out. It's, you know, because God doesn't suggest us to hang out with somebody who's wicked.
Right.
He doesn't want that, you know, because you will get what he has.
Yeah, when God called the people of Israel to himself, he began to lay out standards for those people. And part of the standards that he laid out was, I don't want you to be with the people that are surrounding you.
Yeah.
I want to maintain a separateness. And that separateness, he knew that their hearts would be drawn away from the Lord and loving the Lord first.
Yeah.
And I think what you're talking about and what Adam's talking about, and I think what's really powerful for us to realize is that because in our hearts we can be so unfaithful to God, it is of the utmost importance that we stay completely focused on him. And when he brought the sword, he's basically saying, look, you cannot put any other relationship above me.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Husband, wife, child, a parent. There's nothing in all of creation. I am your God. I created you, and I have a right to you. And he is a jealous God and demands our worship, and nothing else should get that worship.
And there's gonna be as long as you grow, I'm going to tell this to all of you, as long as you grow, you're going to feel that separation. You're going to feel that uncomfortable when you are around with the ungodly people.
Right.
You will feel that way. You will feel like something uncomfortable, like you don't want to be around them.
Right. It's because you don't belong to the world.
You don't belong to the
You've
world.
Been born again.
You will feel that way.
Right.
I feel that way.
Right. Yeah. After spending time with his disciples, Jesus sent them out to do what he preached about. Okay? Doing is a huge component of being. Somehow going out and doing what God has called us to do, and I think this is something that John was talking about before, stepping out in faith and actually doing it, even if you're terrified of it or not certain or afraid of making a mistake, that process of taking God at his word and trying and just getting out there and trying to do things helps to grow you and change you. Yeah.
This might be a better question for the beginning of this session,
mm-hmm.
when you're asking all the questions, but I just talking about doing what he's called us to do and the mission that we're on. Maybe we're going to talk about this later and you can tell me we're going to talk about it later. But I feel like personally I've been ruined by, it's all about relationship,
mm-hmm.
that mentality, because it makes me very, very hesitant to actually just go for the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, I think he's got no fear in doing this job.
Yeah.
Over here.
Right.
But I am terrified to just go up to someone and say, do you know Jesus?
Right.
Not because it's not something I believe in, but it's because I don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they need. I don't know their story.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to chat about the differences between
mm-hmm.
today?
We're going to talk about, it's not an either or. I think it's a both and. And I think that as the body of Christ, when someone has a strength that we're intimidated by or feel like it's good for us to kind of hang with people that make us uncomfortable in a good way. And I think that the relationship stuff that you're stronger in because it's been preached to all your life is a fantastic foundation for you to relate to people and convince them or just share with them what God has done in your life. I think that there is a time where there's this bold in your face, hey, do you know the Lord? But there's another thing saying, hey, you're having a really tough day. Is it all right if I pray with you? Why do you want to pray with me? Well, you know, I love the Lord, and when I'm struggling myself, I reach out to him, and he always helps. You know, would you be open to that? I don't have to pray with you now. I can pray with you on your own. But were you just sharing relationally with someone, and you have an impact, and you can follow up? But the thing is, being terrified of speaking up is something that you have to deal with, whether you're dealing with someone relationally or whether you're confronting someone and you're doing it with boldness. And that boldness is still a requirement for us, because at the end of the day, he's saying, go do it. Go share. Go give what you've been given. And so the relationship that you have, that's what you have to share, the relationship.
But then he also talks about meeting the physical needs before
mm-hmm.
you go into
right.
anything beyond that. So I'm confused.
It's a both or and. It's not an either or. I think that there are times where we need to bring that cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty. There's a time where we need to reach out to the homeless and make sure that they're warm and they have something to eat. But I think that if we just stop there, it's not enough. Because the need is so much more than just those things. But on the other hand, in the getting out of ourselves and being able to be others-minded, hey, I'm called to serve, I'm called to give, I'm called to be stretched, it is putting you in a place of being someone different than feed me, make me feel good. I just want to feel the relationship of Jesus and know he's here with me. I think what happens is sometimes when we go out and we get spent giving for the Lord, that time where we feel him close by is so much more meaningful. There's times where we don't feel the Lord, but we continue to do what we're supposed to do because we're doing what we're called to do. We have faith that God's going to come through for us and minister to our need when we have a need. But it's that faith of just trusting he's going to finish what he's done. And I think that in those moments, it kind of brings us back around where there's this pleasure, this divine pleasure that he has towards us because he's so proud of us doing more than just enjoying him. We're glorifying him by sharing him with others. So I'm going to get back around to that a little bit more, I think. So I don't think that was the perfect answer, but I think that just sort of like the immediate, this is yes, yes, and yes. Anthony.
I think that, like what our engaged group that we have here, I feel like things are going to happen big.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like as time goes on and we keep fellowshipping, I feel like all the people that love us outside of the church are going to see our light. And I think when they see what we have going on here, they're going to be drawn in.
Right.
And I feel like we have lines out there, like fishing rods
yeah.
out there.
Yeah.
And when we rise up, our lines are going to rise up and they're going to come with us.
Yeah.
I believe.
Right. The next point I wanted to get to tonight was that Jesus taught his disciples that the work they were sent to do was worthy. The title of this evangelism series is Faith Worth Sharing. The faith that we're sharing with people, the faith that we're offering others, is something that has worth. There's value to it. And we don't need to be ashamed of going out and doing that. He said, when you go into a town, look for that hospitality. It was a different time in history where hospitality was something you extended because that's what people did. Okay, and we're not necessarily in the same stage. I'm not saying everyone, hey, go into Philly and don't take anything with you. Just knock on doors and ask people to stay at their houses and share the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But the idea is that when he said, go and do this, go share, go heal, go preach, go love and meet needs, this is worthy work. It's not something that should be looked down upon. It's something that we should feel shame about. But I think that we live in a world where we're somehow made to feel that Christianity is all about rules, and we're just trying to convert people to a religion. And it's like, but that's where the relationship thing is so important, because it's we're not just trying to make people into religious people. We're trying to introduce them and bring Jesus to them and help them to see, this is what God has done in my life. This is how my life has been changed because of this person that I met. And I want you to meet this person too, because I see you have a need. And I know that he is able to meet that need. And I want you to experience some of the great things that I've experienced. That's worth sharing. That's worth giving. That's worth not being ashamed of. And when we're just trying to say, okay, guys, turn from your wickedness, stop doing this, turn or burn, you guys are going to hell, that message is not the message that we're supposed to be bringing and leading off with that. Yes, it's true. But some of the worst enemies of Christ were actually the religious people. The people that were putting heavy weights on people, saying, it was telling people, do these things to get into heaven. And that's the big thing that I'm trying to make sure that we don't walk away from this evangelism series with this sense of, oh no, and now I've got to do this. No, we're privileged to be able to share what we've received. We are called to share what we've received. We are fulfilled and made whole and made into better people when we share what we've been given. And that's why it's worth sharing. And it's why when we begin to follow him, which is kind of what this is all coming back around to, we have to follow him. We have to learn his ways and understand his heart. When you see how Jesus interacted with all the different people that he interacted with, how he elevated children, he elevated women, he elevated those that were sick. Everybody else was like saying, blind Bartimaeus, shut up. Just get away. Okay, the tax collector, Zacchaeus, that everyone was like, are you serious? This guy is like defrauding the Israelites. He's like, no, this man is a true son of Israel. Jesus looks at our heart, and he wants to know our heart. And for us, when we share the good news, we can't convince somebody through persuasive words. We don't need to worry about what we're going to say. We just need to let the love of God abide in us so that we would be able to share not what we know, but who we know. This is what God has done. This is who God is. This is what I want to share with you. And hey, if you don't want to receive it, that's on you. It's okay. I'm just trying to help you here. And if you don't want it, that's okay. You know, but it's a different way, a different approach that I think is very attractive. Like Anthony was saying, it's very attractive, but let's not worry so much about being attractive. Let's just worry about being close to God so that nothing that's in our lives gets in the way of people being attracted to Him. Doing doesn't replace relationship. This is kind of where I'm coming into landing with that. What is our motivation? He reminded his disciples that what they would be doing would be in his name. Okay, what we are doing as believers are meant to bring glory to God, pointing people to him. This is not about building a church, okay, or a social club. This isn't even about building Engage. What Engage is all about is just trying to help one another. Say, hey guys, let's stay focused on what we all know we're supposed to be staying focused on. Let's remind ourselves. Let's provoke one another to good works. Let's remember that everything we're doing is for him. And when we get off, as we all tend to get off every once in a while, when we get caught up with chasing after worldly possessions or being consumed with comparing ourselves to other people or trying to make things too big or too great, when we get off, let's remind ourselves of who it is that we all love and why we belong to one another and what we have in common and that what we're doing is for him. Let's stay connected to him through this whole thing so that they would know that we are Christians. Not because we're really good at explaining why Jesus went to the cross and what happened in his vicarious atonement and how sanctification happens, but that we would just say, you know what, this is what happened in my life. We testify to the goodness of God. Reward is assured to those who lose their life for his sake. Relationship, rather than reward, should motivate us towards righteousness. When we are going out there and trying to do these things for God because we're trying to get some jewels for our crown, we've taken our eyes off of Jesus and put our attention on ourselves, that we're going out there for reward. When we are doing it because we are expecting something in return, it's the wrong focus again. And what we need to realize is that there is this day, this great day, when we're going to stand before the Lord. There'll be a great reckoning. And just like the parable of the talents, we're going to have to give an account for what we've been given and entrusted with. And for everybody who has been given something, we'll have to say, what did you do with that? And for those that have made more, he'll say, great job, you make me proud, come on in. I'm excited about sharing the eternity with you because you did exactly what I told you you need to do and you had me in mind and you did what you're supposed to do. But those that are not having the mind of God, not having the heart of Christ, that are fearful, that are making excuses, okay, or just doing things for the wrong motivation. Those are the things that are going to end up hurting us in the long run. The relationship is the thing that drives us. And so we keep pushing in, because when our relationship with him is, he's asking us to do things we can't do, we reach the end of ourselves, we got to push in a little bit more. Well, how does that happen? How do we get to that point? Which is why I was asking John before, you pray for boldness or pray for passion. Well, how do you get that? I think that all of it comes back to relationship. Amen. Okay, what Brandon was saying as well. That relationship is the thing that's going to motivate us. Remembering all that he's done for us.
Yes.
That who we serve is a real person. We're serving a God who saw us 10 years ago and when we came to Christ, or 2 years ago when we came to Christ, or this huge situation that we had just 6 months ago when we completely, fell off the wagon. Like, he was there and he restored us and he loved us and he healed us. That motivates us because of relationship. It's not just, oh, this idea of I'm close to Jesus, I go to church and do the church thing. No, he's a real person we talk to and spend time with and prioritize in our lives and worship and interact with. And it's all those things together that help us to stay on track. To offer not our wisdom, not our persuasive words, but to only preach Christ and Him crucified. To tell, this is the difference. God loves you. God made a way for you to come near to Him. I know this because He made a way for me to come near to Him. When you spend time with God, He begins to change you. He begins to heal you. He begins to deliver you. And all of these things are things that you have to offer because of your real life experiences. Okay, I may not have been healed of cancer, but I've been healed of a broken heart. I've been healed of this or healed of that. I may not have been delivered from a demon, okay, in demon possession, but I've been delivered from demonic forces that have influenced me and have tried to direct me and redirect me in my life. Okay, I know the power of God because He has filled me and He has shown me and enabled me to do things I would not have been able to do had it not been for His power in my life. And if you're telling this to somebody, you can say, and He can do it for you too.
Yep.
He can do it for you, and that's what I'm inviting you to.
Amen.
Not come and be part of a religion where I'm going to tell you all the things you do wrong and tell you you have to do all these different things. Come and be part of a relationship where spending time with Him will lead you to a place of communion with not only Jesus, but with everybody else who calls on the name of the Lord. Anthony, I'm actually going to close in prayer. I want you to talk to me afterward, okay?
Can I just say one thing?
One last thing, sure.
It kind of relates to what you were saying about having a broken heart.
Uh-huh.
There was a girl that I was, like, in love with.
Uh-huh.
And she was kind of bad. She listened to Led Zeppelin. And my point is, I couldn't break away from her. It was so bad. Like, I was crying. I was devastated when she left me.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to get a restraining order on me.
Mm.
But not in a... I wasn't violent.
Yeah.
I was just like, I love you. Couldn't stop calling her work phone. And Jesus came into my life and He ripped her out of my life.
Yeah.
He cut that tie off. I was soul tied to her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And He cut it off.
Yeah. That's the strange thing about the love of God. God's love is the most powerful love we could ever experience. And it says that God is love. And the love that we experience from Him is a jealous love. And He doesn't want anybody else. That's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other God before me. He expects us to worship Him only. And spending time with His disciples, they got to hang out with God. And they understood the standards that were there. And for us, we don't get to hang out with Jesus in the flesh. Instead, we hang out with other Christians who've experienced Jesus. And we grow that way. We worship Him. And learn from Him, from His word, and from the preaching of the word. And basically continue to make Him the priority of our lives. And God, in His desire to love us and to reveal Himself to us, begins to show us His glory. Begins to show us who He is. And as Anthony said, He begins to break us of things that are really just completely against Him. Things that we would think aren't bad things. But God says, no, this for my son or my daughter, this is not okay. And He begins to reveal to us who we really are because He wants to make us into who He wants us to be and who He intended for us to be all along, which is sons and daughters that really just display His glory, that glorify Him. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and then we're going to worship the Lord together. Father God, Lord, I thank You so much for Your great love, a love that has the power to change us. And Lord, as You call us higher up and deeper in, Lord, into relationship with You, You are desiring to reveal more of who You are to us. And that in that process, we are changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And that, Lord, for everyone here tonight, I pray that You would remind us that all of these things are spiritual truth that You want us to grab hold of and internalize so that we can be a representation to this world of who You are. And Lord, that when You call us to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, to make disciples, Lord, You are calling us to share and to give what we've received from You. Father, so Father, fill us afresh and anew, Lord, with more of You. Empty us out of things that are not of You. Help us to experience Your love so that we can love others the way You've loved us. And we can minister Your truth and Your grace. Give us a holy fire, Lord, a divine passion to share the faith that you've given to us, a faith that's worth sharing with the world that's so broken and so hurting. Let us not be afraid, Lord God, because you have promised to be with us. Encourage us tonight and just draw us closer to you, Lord. I pray all these things in your strong name. Amen. Amen.